Hi, I'm Oki, and welcome to Tell Me About Your Book. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Tell Me About Your Book. I'm really, really excited to be talking to author Joseph Lessa, and he has an amazing book that I'm really excited to dive into. This is definitely right up my alley, this sort of book. But hi, Joseph, how are you today?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for being here. I'm excited, actually.
Yeah, me too.
His book is called I'm Never Fine, Scenes and Spasms on Loss. Now, I have a million questions, I promise you. But can you tell me first what your book is about?
Yeah, it is a collection of essays, nonfiction, that essentially chronicles my time as a caregiver for my father when he was suffering from pancreatic cancer. In the latter half of the book sort of chronicles like the years that follow and, you know, the sort of journey that I take towards finding the way to actually grieve the loss and all of the sort of mistakes and turmoil that happens along the way.
I'm already so wanting to be immersed in your book because the grieving process, it's so strange and new to me throughout this whole entire year. So I'm definitely wanting to talk to you about what you've gone through in this book.
Yeah.
Obviously, we get to read about your experience, but before we get into it, what made you want to put this in writing?
I didn't want to. It actually happened sort of against my will.
Oh.
I never really planned on turning this into a book, but I started writing it. I wrote the first piece back in, it was like 2017, 2018. I was in grad school at the time for a writing program. And at the time, I considered myself a fiction author. Like, I wanted to write fiction. And I took a class on the lyric essay, which was really sort of like my first formal exposure to creative nonfiction. I was so new to it at the time, I didn't quite know what even is creative nonfiction. Like, how am I supposed to write about my life in a creative way? Like, that's how clean I was. That's exactly what we were tasked to do. You know, we read authors like Joan Didion and John DeGatta and Leah Purpura and, you know, Maggie Nelson, all who wrote about their own lives and their own experiences, but in very sort of like unconventional ways. And at the end of the class, we were tasked to do so ourselves. And so when I was sort of like up against that challenge, I just thought about a period of my life that I felt was, if anything, was probably the most worthy of capturing and writing. And I wound up, you know, writing an essay that wound up being the first piece in the collection. At the end of it, I realized that I had finally been able to sort of let go of some piece of that grief that I had been hanging on to for so long, not realizing that writing was even like a conduit towards doing that. I think it sort of unlocked something, because throughout the rest of my program, you know, while I was taking courses in fiction, in poetry, you know, and all across all of these different genres, a lot of the work that I was producing was either directly or indirectly inspired by that period of my life. So when it came time to write my thesis, I already had collected about, you know, four or five solid pieces, and something was screaming at me from some other dimension saying like, yo, you, there's something to write here, and you're probably not going to be able to write about anything else until you deal with this. And so that's what I decided to make my concentration. My thesis was going to be a book of essays about this period of my life and the time thereafter. And that's what it yielded.
I love that process, though. I love how it gets conjured up and how you decided to focus on this part of your life. How was the writing process, having to go back to some moments and during that time?
It was a really interesting process, you know, because at the time when I started writing it truly in earnest, you know, I was at that point about 6 years separated from actually losing my dad. And so as time passes, you gain some clarity, you gain some perspective, you know, some of the pain ebbs a little bit. And so you're re-examining all of these episodes, these vignettes, whatever you want to call them, through the lens of an older, more mature person. And perhaps you're seeing things that you didn't see in the moment. Perhaps you're uncovering things that you were a little bit too blind to at the time. So on the one hand, yes, obviously it was painful to kind of go back through all of that. But again, it was largely therapeutic, because with each piece that I would write, again, I would find myself able to let go of something or to realize something that I had not realized in the moment and see things slightly differently. So, you know, bittersweet. It was a bittersweet process.
I was kind of curious of how you would also write during the time that you were going through the process, during the time of having to take care of your dad versus your writing 6 years later. I'm real kind of curious how different that would be, not to open up old wounds or anything like that. I wonder how different your work will be. What have you gained after publishing this book? How has it been?
I mean, it's been a really fascinating process, I have to say, because, you know, when you're writing such a personal story,
right?
Obviously, you're not the only one who bore witness to it. You're not the only one who experienced it. So, you know, part of the publication process was a little bit scary, because I knew that there would be people, family members, friends, what have you, people that I was close to, that were going to get, you know, a window into some, you know, some extremely harrowing, personal, you know, maybe even a little bit ugly moments of, you know, the time during and the time after, things that you normally would just, you know, tuck away and hope people would never find out.
Right. I hear you.
So, I mean, that bit was, you know, a little scary, because, you know, my immediate thought was, if I am this honest and I, you know, I strive for honesty in this book, some perhaps even, you know, to a fault, is this going to paint, you know, a different image of myself in people's heads? Are they going to perceive me differently? Is our relationship going to change fundamentally? And then on the flip side, it's actually been such a blessing, because I've been able to connect with so many other writers, whether it's social media or what have you, whether it's, you know, being blessed enough to be listed by BuzzFeed, by Lambda Literary, it opens doors and it allows me to, you know, start communicating with these people that I otherwise, you know, had only known of from afar, from their names on book covers, emerging writers like myself that, you know, are coming onto the scene at the same time, and being able to find ways to work together and to really tap into and form a community that I didn't quite have before. And it's been really gratifying and really sort of amazing to speak with all of these other artists and creatives and learn about their stories and their books and their processes.
I want to say congratulations, first and foremost, since you published this book earlier this year.
Yeah, February.
Because I felt like since your publication, you really kind of catapulted into like the BuzzFeed list or most anticipating list and things like that. Congratulations. This is quite amazing.
Thank you.
But this book is so personal and it's so heartfelt. What else can we expect from this book as far as knowing you as an author? Because you've really poured your personal matters into this. Do we get a glimpse of you beyond the grieving process? Like, do we get a glimpse of you as a writer and things like that?
I mean, maybe indirectly. I don't necessarily write about writing in the book. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the first half of the book is very much grounded in sort of real time, in the disease and the care and the leading up to the passing. In the latter half of the book, it kind of breaks up a bit and becomes a little bit more scattered a little bit. And it focuses in on different aspects of myself that may or may not seem on the surface to be directly related to grief, but it's all a part of the process of how grief sort of reveals things to you about yourself that you didn't realize. So, you know, in the latter half of the book, there's an essay that deals with my sexuality, for instance, and having to sort of finish a conversation about that with my father that I was never able to finish, and having to do so by kind of just going back and reexamining things and looking for answers that, you know, I can't directly get anymore. There are essays about my religion and my relationship with faith or a divine power, whatever you want to call it, and how that is significantly impacted by loss and by grief. You know, for some people, it makes them hold even faster to that. For other people, it makes them question a little bit. I examine my friendships. I examine my relationships. I examine even my own relationship with mental health and anxiety, and how, you know, that even can be impacted on a cellular level by going through and experiencing a trauma, such as the loss of a loved one. So I think you definitely learn quite a bit about myself. I don't know if it's as a writer, as much as just as a person.
I'm really interested in getting to know you through your book this way. The grieving process is such a, dare I say the word, ridiculous way of us dealing with our emotions. Like, I'm always pinging up and down. My emotions are always all over the place. And I see what you mean when you think, all right, how are people going to react, like your loved ones, how they're going to react knowing what you went through and your side of things. It wasn't until even a couple of days later after my mother passed, I realized, oh my God, I'm not the only one who lost someone. My aunt lost her sister. My husband lost his mother-in-law and things like that. So it was really strange. So I appreciate you writing a book like this.
What you said makes a whole bunch of sense. And that's part of the reason why I kind of, at the beginning of the book, I even have a disclaimer. You know, when I talk and under the like about the book section, I say, you know, this is a work of nonfiction. However, in as much as, you know, every person who, you know, is close to this event experienced it differently and may see things differently and may have reacted to certain things differently, like, this is just at the end of the day, my experience. So if it doesn't match somebody else's, it's because that's just how punishingly individual grief can be. You know, everybody goes through it and sees it, you know, quite differently.
So are you done writing about your life experiences? Do you feel complete with this book? Like, are you wanting to explore more things about the other aspects of your life in another book or anything like that?
Yeah. Or I should say, no, I'm not done. I'm kind of in the process right now. I mean, it kind of feels ridiculous because it's only been, what, 3 months since the book
right.
is out. So sort of like, you know, in the midst of the push and getting the word out and trying to focus on, you know, what's immediately in front of me. But I am sort of getting that sort of itch in the back of my head about, you know, what is a potential book to look like.
Right.
And as a product of that, you know, I've started as I did with this first one, jotting down ideas that come to mind for potential topics. And they all, again, seem to be sort of revolving around a certain period of my life. So I definitely see the makings of a second collection in the works, and certainly hope to begin to address that in earnest later this year.
I'm interested in what else you can give us, for sure. Absolutely. Because I think a lot of these things you write about can be very relatable. And as much as we escape away from reality when we want to read something, this is still very important too. And I think it's definitely helpful as well to see how you deal with things so people can relate.
And that's truly what I tried to do with this book. And as much as it was an exercise for me to grieve properly and to find my own way to grieve properly, it was also about, I wanted to relate to other people, because part of the problem, part of the reason why I struggled for so long and carried, you know, that pain around for so long was because I was laboring under this belief that, like, grief was going to look a certain way. We're taught by all of these articles and, you know, and life coaches, mm-hmm. YouTube videos, whatever you want to call it, about these like 5 stages of grief, this denial, bargaining, depression, all of that stuff. And you think that that's what it's going to look like. You think it's going to be this thing that you can compartmentalize and organize into these different stages, and that at the end of it, you'll be a whole person again and everything will be fine. And one thing I learned very quickly was that it doesn't happen that way. Like, the 5 stages are kind of ridiculous. And the notion that everybody grieves the same way is ridiculous. For me, mm-hmm. I didn't have 5 stages. My stage was anger. I was angry. I became an incredibly angry person. you know, I was born with a short fuse, and I think my fuse was cut even shorter by the experience. And eventually I came to a point where, like, it was becoming very apparent to me, and, you know, I would sort of irrationally act out to very, you know, very slight triggers. When that happened, you know, when that started happening enough, I was thinking to myself, like, all right, like, this is a little bit ridiculous. Like, what's at the root of all of this? And so I understood that I had to do some digging. I understood at some point that the only way through it, you know, or to the other side, was to write my way through it. And I thought at the same time, like, all right, well, you know, if I'm experiencing this, if I feel so lost, if I feel so broken that I can't even grieve properly, that I'm just stuck and parked in this anger, I can't be the only one who feels this way. I can't be the only one who has gone through this. So again, yeah, part of the reason why I wanted to write the book was not to give anybody advice, not to tell anybody that there's, you know, here's the correct way of doing it, but was just to reach a similar individual out there whose struggle bore some resemblance to mine, and just say, hey, if you feel alone in this, if you feel that you're doing it wrong, I'm here to tell you that you're not. Like, all of the mistakes you're going to make, you will make mistakes, you will be embarrassed, you will feel like you're doing it wrong. And the big secret is, we all feel like we're doing it wrong. Nobody has the recipe for you. It's going to suck, but it's going to come down to you figuring out, like, what grief looks like to you and how you get past it.
That was perfectly said, actually. Thank you for that. You know, a lot of people don't know how to respond to you, right? Because you're the one that's going through the grief. There's really not a good guidance of how to, for them to respond to you. I tried my best to just kind of be thankful of all the things people said to me. So I'm so glad to be introduced to your book like this, because we all can relate, and it's a beautiful thing to be able to do. And even though there are sad moments, there are also, like, happy moments, because you're realizing things about yourself, which is great.
It can be an incredibly alienating space. And I think that one thing that you definitely learn when you go through this period, or when you're going through this period, it reveals things not only about yourself, but it reveals things about the people around you. And a lot of people don't quite know how to process it. You know, we're human, we're fallible people. And if, especially if we haven't experienced something like that, some people don't know what to say. Some people try, you know, they wind up saying the wrong thing, something that can come across as incredibly rude when they meant to be helpful. Some people may disappear entirely because they don't know what to say. And they feel like, when you come to them, that you're, like, asking them to solve your problem. And we're not doing that. And I think, honestly, this might sound, like, incredibly glib, but I think one thing that a friend can do, potentially, if they, you know, if they understand that they can't help fix the problem that's in front of them, like, one thing you can do to help somebody who's, like, going through a pretty rough period in their life is to just literally talk about anything else. Give them that outlet to just talk about bullshit, talk about what you're watching, what you're reading, like, give them that moment where they can, like, exit their own existence and just live on another plane for, you know, an hour, whatever. Incredibly therapeutic for a person to do that.
Absolutely. I feel like I can talk to you a lot more about this, of course, but I want to get back to you and your book though. So what else can you tell me about you as a writer? Now, we know that you're starting to work on your second book and all, but what else can you tell me about you as a writer, as an author?
Honestly, I don't know. No. It's like, it's one of those big questions, right? That's incredibly difficult to answer. And I know that we've been programmed to think of ourselves as, like, brands, but I don't know if I have a brand. I think for me as a writer, half the time when I approach something on the page, it's because I don't know a lot about it. And half the time I set out to write something thinking I know what I mean to write, I don't discover until I'm a third or halfway through it that I'm actually writing about something else entirely. But I just kind of try in every piece that I write, whether it's fiction, poetry, or whatever, to uncover that that universality of it. You know, what am I really getting at here? You know, I wrote one of my short stories that I wrote years ago, one of my very, very early short stories actually was a piece called The Hypochondriac. And it was all about this guy who at his job felt like he was like entirely misunderstanding what he was there to do, that everybody else around him seemed to be on the same wavelength, but that he was fundamentally missing something. And he actually thought that, you know, there was something medically wrong with him, that, you know, maybe he had some sort of ridiculous like neurological disease, because why is everybody else getting this and I'm not getting this? Underneath it all wasn't a story about being ill or having any sort of like neurological illness, but it was about, you know, this feeling of, it's sort of like the feeling that, you know, we all sort of feel in the professional world, that we're all like a bit of a fraud. You know, we're all just sort of like faking it because we feel that there's some sort of shame in asking for help or something wrong with not knowing everything. I didn't know that at the time. When I set out to write the story, I was like, oh, like, wouldn't this be a fun topic? Even like add some sort of twist at the end. But at its core, it's just about our innate flaws as humans and how terrified we can come to feel when we don't have the answer to a question. So that's really, I guess, if you're asking me to encapsulate myself as an author, it's that. It's every, you know, in every project I set out to write, it's about discovering something that innately we can all relate to on some level.
Can you go ahead and do a podcast about all this? I feel like this will be amazing. I'm just saying. I would definitely listen to this. This is such a great platform to jump off of when it comes to doing really personal enrichment. You know, I feel like you can definitely keep going with this, Joseph. This is great. So where can we get your book?
So the book is available everywhere books are sold. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it on Barnes & Noble. If you don't have a preferred vendor, I definitely recommend bookshop.org, because part of their proceeds go to help independent bookstores and independent booksellers. And I'm a very big fan of the indie bookseller. It's pretty much everywhere. And obviously ebook version is available via Kindle, via Apple Books and whatnot. But, you know, you can also go to, because it is available through Ingram, the distributor, you can absolutely go to your local bookshop and ask them to special order it for you and, you know, give them your money, because they definitely have earned it.
Well, I want to say thank you for coming by today and talking to me about I'm Never Fine, because I feel like this book is relatable, but it's also so hopeful and just such an amazing read. But I hope you come back to talk to me when you get your next book out, or just anytime you do anything really, because this is really fascinating. Any last minute thing you want to say before we go today?
No, just like so thankful for you having me. If anybody is interested in following me, you can check out my website, which is, you know, www.josephleza.com. And you can find me on all of the socials at Lez Do This, which is LezzDoothis.
Cool. I'm so glad to have met you and finally get to talk to you. I always think that nonfiction authors, especially memoirs like this, you guys just don't get enough credit. It's crazy how important these types of books are. And even though we want entertainment of it, which we, to me, ultimately do get, we get to know that there's others out there that go through the same things we do. So this is wonderful. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I will talk to you later, Joseph. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Okay, bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Me About Your Book. Please continue to support indie authors and indie bookstores. And if you would love to support Tell Me About Your Book podcast, you can certainly do so by going to buymeacoffee.com/tellmepodcast, where just for a price of a coffee, you can support monthly for just $5. There's other tiers too in the memberships, and you can look at all the info about it, and I would certainly, certainly appreciate it. And of course, there's the other podcast, Books, Cats, and Snacks, where Katty and I talk all things book. And about her cats too. See you then.